Hi, you're listening to the Sermon Podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the DC area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening.
Hey, if you have a Bible with you this morning, go ahead and grab that. If you didn't bring a Bible with you or you want to use your phone or a tablet, feel free to do that as well. And turn with me to the book of John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And if this is your first time to church or your first time to church in a while, I want to encourage you, use a phone or a tablet. We are going to have the words on the screen. But what I have found is that a lot of times people treat the sermon time as just a time as the pastor gets up and just kind of says some stuff and we sit back and try to decide whether or not we like it or not. But guys, this is not a song and dance from me. This is a time where we are all God's people gathered around God's word to hear a word from God today. And so a way you can do that is by taking notes. You can do that on your cards that were put out on your seat, or if you brought a journal, or if you want to take notes in your phone, feel free to do that as well. And we'll be in John chapter 10. Listen, I'll tell you what verse in just a second. So just get to John 10. I promise it's going to be okay. But today, guys, we are continuing on our series called I Am, where we have been spending just the last month and a half in the book of John, looking at every single time Jesus says the words, I am. And the reason this is important is because we are trying to answer a question from the Bible as to who is Jesus? Like, who is he? Who does he say he is? Can he back that up? Does that mean anything? And we've kind of been on that journey. And I don't know about you, but I've been super blessed the last few weeks. We've gotten to hear from some amazing people. A few weeks ago, we got to hear from Wes, one of our elders who brought the word to us about how Jesus said, I am the gate. And then a couple of weeks ago, we heard from Franklin, who talked to us about how Jesus says, I am the true vine. Last week, we got to hear from Nate, one of our church planters, residents about how Jesus said he is the bread, I am the bread of life. And so today we're going to continue that on. But here's what I want you to see from all of this. There is a central theme to all of this. The theme for this entire series is that Jesus is the way to get us in a relationship with God. Jesus is the way that gets us in a relationship with God. See, every single one of these I am statements exists to show us how we can have an actual relationship with God. This is why sometimes in church lingo, church language, we kind of use words like, how's your relationship with God going? And let's be honest, for some of us, I don't know where you're at today, I don't know where you would fall, but the word relationship can even be a trigger word for some of us, right? It's kind of like, I don't want to talk about any relationships, I don't want to talk about any of that mess, and I understand that. But here's what I want you to know, Jesus wants to talk about your relationship. He wants to talk to you about your relationship with God. And so throughout all of these statements, here's what we know. And if you haven't written this down or you need to write it down again, this is the statement we've been saying every single week. Now I want you guys to write this down and get this. That when we move from knowing about Jesus to truly knowing Jesus, we begin to experience a personal relationship with God. Guys, that is the whole goal of Christianity. The whole goal of Christianity is not to keep you out of hell. The whole goal of Christianity is not just to give you some sort of faith crutch when things are hard. The goal of Christianity is to show you that you can know God. You can know Him. You can be in a relationship with a holy, righteous God. The one we were singing to about how holy He is and amazing He is and sits on the throne, you can know Him. You can sit on the lap of the one who sits on the throne as a father and as a son or daughter. So I want you to know that. Okay, as we move in to John chapter 10, there's a little bit of context you need. Anytime you're studying the Bible, context is king. Context super important in this scenario. So in John chapter 9, what happened was Jesus had just healed a blind man. Now, that wasn't, honestly, that was not unusual for Jesus. He was kind of always walking around healing people, doing these amazing miracles. But the way he did it was actually pretty unusual. And I don't have time to get through it all, but this is one of my favorite stories because Jesus, there's this man, he was blind from birth. Like, ever since he was born, he's been blind. And so Jesus finds him. Jesus says, do you want to see? The guy's like, yeah. Jesus literally makes mud pies in the dirt with his saliva, like spits in the dirt, makes mud, and wipes it on the dude's eyes, okay? Then he tells him, go jump in the pool. And again, this is all significant, and I don't really have time because I want to get us somewhere else today. But he goes and jumps in the pool that's supposed to provide healing, and the man can see. Now, he does all of this on a Sabbath day, which really ticks off the religious people. Like, all the people who are all about the law, all about the, you got to do things a certain way and be a certain way, like, they get really mad, angry about this whole thing. And so Jesus begins to have a conversation with them. And the man, they even get to a point where they're like, this is a different man. This isn't the same man. The man goes, listen, I don't know who he is. I don't know who this Jesus of Nazareth is. Here's all I can tell you. I was blind, but now I see, right? That's so good. And so they begin questioning Jesus. So Jesus is in the middle of talking to these Pharisees, these religious leaders. And honestly, there are other people gathered around too. And he's trying to explain to them who he is. That's the question they're trying to answer, is who is this guy? Like, how does he get away with doing this? Now, before we get in, we're actually going to start in verse 11. So John chapter 10, verse 11. But the first 10 verses, you guys know I don't like picking up just right in the middle of something. But those first 10 verses, Wes actually already preached to us a few weeks ago where Jesus says, I am the door. I am the gate of the way for the sheep. And so Jesus does that. So you can go back and listen to that podcast from a few weeks ago and catch up on that. But this is what Jesus says. So he says, I am the gate of the sheep. But then he still sees confused looks on people's faces. So he says, let me try another way. Let me try to explain to you who I am. So John chapter 10, verse 11. If you're there, say, I'm there. I love that. All right, let's dive in. Here we go. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Aren't you glad? This charge I have received from my Father. Well, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon. He's insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The word of the Lord. Man, this is so good. If you're taking notes, I want you to just write this down. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, we read this passage. I'm just going to go back and find a few things and explain them to us. But it says Jesus is the good shepherd. What does that mean? Like, what does it mean for Jesus to be the good shepherd? Well, one, we got to look at the word good. That word good is the Greek word kalos. And the word kalos It does mean good, but it doesn't mean good the way we like to look at it in our language. Like, for example, I could do something like say, hey, Mark, how you doing today? Good. He's good. All right? He's good. And a lot of times that's how we treat the word good. It's very casual, very flippant, very, you know, how you doing today? I'm good. What's the weather like? It's good. How's work going? It's good. We use this word good, and then we know what it means is everything's fine. Everything's fine. Mark said he's doing good. Everything's fine. All right? But that's not what the word kalos means. That's not what the Greek word good means. The word in the original language means it is noble or it is worthy. It is noble or it is worthy. So when someone says something is good, we're talking about its value. We're not talking about just a flippant, I'm good. And most of the time when someone asks me how I'm doing and I say good, that's just code word for stop asking, right? Like, it doesn't actually matter if you're doing good, does it? Like, it doesn't actually matter if your whole life is falling apart. Someone is passing you by in the hall and say, hey, how you doing? You just go, good, how you doing? And that's it. And we just flippantly, like, throw the word good around. But guys, this word good doesn't mean Jesus is the good shepherd, as in he's better than, like, the worst shepherds, okay? It doesn't mean he's just a good shepherd, like, you know, he got 4 out of 5 stars. He's a good shepherd, you know? That's not what it means. What it means is he is a noble shepherd. He is a worthy shepherd. He is good. And everything about him is good. And I want you guys to think about that as you think about who God is to you, as you think about, like, the characteristics of God. That one of the characteristics that Jesus shows us about God is that he is good. So Jesus gives us kind of a comparison. He said there's a difference between, you know, just being good, like a good shepherd, and being just a hired shepherd. And so Jesus talks and he says, now there are hired shepherds. And these people are, they're just hired. Like, it may be kind of like, and this is, I mean, no disrespect at all, but it's kind of like the sense of, you know, if you were walking out of the room and your kids were here and you're like, hey, I got to go get something from my car, can you just watch after my kids? I would say yes, but my bar is probably lower than yours, okay? Because at that point in time, you're going out to the car to check on something. I'm watching your kids. My goal is keep them breathing, okay? That's our bar. If you come back and your kids are breathing, we won. That's a victory. Like, take a lap, hoist me on your shoulders, parade me around the city. Like, this is the win. For you, as a parent of your children, you're looking around, you're like, no. Like, the bar's a little higher, bro. Like, I want to make sure they don't fall. I want to make sure they don't. Like, you, and the reason why is because you're in relationship. See, relationship makes all the difference in how you care for each other. And so Jesus tells us that there is a difference in him being the good shepherd and just a hired shepherd. A hired shepherd doesn't know the sheep. So a hired shepherd's just doing the best he can, and you had 200 sheep and you came back and you have 197, and that's really honestly the best I could have asked for. Thank you very much. Here's your $20. Have a good day. I'll Venmo you later. Like, that's the bar. But Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm not just hired help. What makes Jesus good is that he knows you. He cares about you. He has interest in your life. He knows your name. And so when something is happening in your life, Jesus is intimately aware and Jesus cares. And so this is the difference. And so Jesus says, and I kind of think in this analogy, he's talking to all the people that are gathered, and maybe he's pointing to the Pharisees and he's saying, you know, you're hired shepherds, the ones who are getting paid from all your tithes and offerings that you're giving, who really don't, they don't even know your names. They don't even care about you. Like, which is what blows my mind, is how many people, like, go to churches and do things like nobody knows who they are. Nobody knows their, and that's what Jesus is saying, like these Pharisees, these people, they don't even know who you are. Like they don't even care about you. They're just watching you, making sure you're following all the rules and checking all the boxes. Jesus says, I'm a good shepherd because I know you. I know your name. I care about you. And we're in relationship. Guys, that's what Jesus does for us. He offers us relationship. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus knows us, and we can know him. Jesus knows us, and we can know him. Now, this is very offensive to the religious people that are there. The religious people are like, wait a minute. You can only know God if you come through us. Like, we got this whole system in play. You got to make some, you know, alms. You got to give some tithes. You got to make some sacrifices. You got to do all this stuff. And we have conveniently done it all through our bookstore. You just travel right through our bookstore, pay your tithes, pay your dues, pay all of this stuff, and we'll make sure you and God are tight. And Jesus says, actually, I'm the shepherd, and I know them, and they know me. Relationship is free. See, when he compares his love to the sheep versus other people's love, you see all these strings attached. And with Jesus, it is a free relationship. Now, it's free for us. It was not free for him, and we'll get to that in a second. But you may wonder, like, man, how does that look like? Like, what does that look like? Because now our relationship, Jesus says, our relationship with him as our shepherd is like his relationship with God. Isn't that crazy? Like, think about the same relationship Jesus has with God. They are literally one, okay? That same relationship, Jesus says, we, his sheep, can have with him, our shepherd. Guys, that's good news. Everybody say good news. That is good news. So how do you have that relationship? Well, listen, this relationship with Jesus is not theoretical. It's not symbolic. Like, and I think that's the thing, is a lot of people go out and they go, yes, I have this relationship with God. It's not actually a relationship. It's just kind of a word to say that, like, the spirit of the spiritual realm, like, kind of lives inside of me. And church, listen to me, that's in Mississippi, we have a word for that. We call it hogwash, okay? It's, what it means is it's worthless. That's not true. Like, that's not true. A relationship with God is not theoretical. It's not symbolism. It's real. You know why it can be real? Because Jesus isn't dead. See, you can't have a real relationship with a dead person. That's weird. But what you can do is you can have a relationship with someone who is alive. And Jesus is alive. So we can have a relationship with him. Like, we can actually know him. And so you experience, now some people may go, okay, Brandon, I get that. I hear that, and I want that, but how do I get it? Well, we're going to talk in a second. Sorry, I literally thought that was a sheep. I was like, that is amazing. I thought someone was mocking me, making sheep noises, and I was just sweet Nora. Okay. So, like, we look at that, and we go, well, here's how. And I want you to write this down. If you struggle with going, Brandon, how do I have this relationship? Like, it sounds nice, but I don't know how to have it. Write this down. I'm going to tell you how Jesus says we can have this relationship. Ready? We trust him. We trust him. Jesus, all throughout Scripture, he says, I know that you're mine because you hear my voice and you do what I say. See, if I hear someone's voice telling me what to do, then all I do is hear it. But if I obey it and I do it, then that means I actually trusted what they told me to do. So the way that you experience a relationship with Jesus is trusting. I think there's a lot of people who started a relationship with Jesus up here, but they have not continued a relationship with Jesus here. And those 6 inches matter a lot because it takes us from knowing to trusting. And how do we know you trust? By doing what Jesus has told us to do. So you hear the intimacy that Jesus says. He says in this passage, he says, I know my own sheep. I know my own sheep. and my sheep know me. You hear the intimacy there? I know them, they know me. Now, in today's world, if somebody was talking to you and you met me at a Starbucks and we were sitting around talking and you're like, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a shepherd. Oh, interesting. I didn't know we had those. And well, we are in Spotsylvania. So maybe there are. Okay, you're a shepherd. That's great. You're a shepherd. Yeah. And I go, yeah, actually being a shepherd is awesome. I know all of my sheep and my sheep know me. You'd be like, that's great. I should have gone through the drive-thru. Like, I immediately regret this decision. And then I go further. No, actually, listen. My sheep, they know my voice. I speak to them. You know? Like, that's wild. That's crazy. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And when I speak, they hear my voice, and they listen. Now, listen, I know that some of you are going to come up to me afterwards. You're going to email me and text me because you are so excited because you know all this information about shepherds. And you want to tell me all the correlations between like sheep and shepherds and a relationship with God. And I would tell you that's great. Please bring them to me. Okay, I love that. I think it's great. I don't have time to get into all of that today. But what I did want to show you is this one video of an example of what this looks like. Now, I ripped this video off of YouTube. I did email the owner of the video and ask for their permission. I never heard back, so I hope that this is okay. So go ahead and show that video. Nope, different one, other video. Yeah, there you go. And try to turn the sound up if you can. So what's happening, I'll just tell you if there's no sound. So what's happening is there's a bunch of people out in a field, and they're at a farmer's field who's a shepherd, and they're all taking turns trying to call the sheep. And apparently there's a very specific call. I'm not going to do it for you here. But they're all trying to call the sheep, and you can see the sheep are very, very uninterested. Kind of like my golden doodle. Look at that. She's like, I know you hear me, but they're not coming. Someone else. Now she's going to try. Doing a call. I mean, they're not even flinching. She's embarrassed. She's gone. Okay, now the shepherd is coming. He's doing the same call that the other people did. Exact same call. Do you see the sheep's reaction? They've all lifted their heads. And now his call is going to get louder, and he's just continuing to call and look. Now he's going to actually go into the sheep pen. And do you see how they're flocking to the shepherd? Now, it helps that he's got a bucket of food, I suppose. Thank you, guys. I want you to see that. Do you see the uniqueness of that? That, guys, the sheep know his voice. And that's how it is. Jesus is saying there's going to be imposters. There's going to be people who act like the shepherd, who tell you they're the shepherd, but they don't have the words of life. But guys, when our shepherd speaks, we can hear him. If you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus also says that he will gather sheep from every nation into one flock. Jesus says that he will gather sheep from every nation into one flock. Jesus makes this really obscure sentence that honestly, if you're trying to save your life and you're trying to like not cause chaos and confusion, you would never say this. But Jesus is obviously just not in the mood that day. And Jesus decides he's just going to lay them with a hammer of truth. And Jesus says this crazy statement in John 10. He says, I actually have other sheep that you don't even know about. I mean, that just sounds like the ultimate flex of a 10-year-old, doesn't it? You know, oh, you have 10 sheep? Well, I got 30 sheep. You ain't even ever seen these sheep before. And Jesus starts telling me, I got sheep everywhere. And I got sheep, they're not even part of this fold, I got sheep that are in a fold you guys ain't never even seen before. And then he just kind of keeps going about being the good shepherd. So he just gives this ultimate flex, like right there in the middle of it. And guys, what Jesus is talking about is he's talking about how he has sheep that are not just Jewish. See, in this moment, he is speaking to a Jewish audience, and he's talking to them about how you guys are in this pen, and I've come from you and for you to fulfill all the prophecies that God is going to send a Messiah to you. He says, I've come for that, but I also have sheep that are not in this pen. I got sheep that are not like you. I got sheep from other nations that speak different languages, that have different cultures. I got those sheep too. And I love this because Jesus says, I'm not just giving up my life for Jewish people, for one ethnicity. I'm giving up my life for the whole world, for anyone who would believe in me, Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles just means non-ethnic Jewish or non-Jewish people. See, and Jesus says, I'm laying down my life to save people from every nation, from every language, from every background, every culture all over the world. And church, as I'm reading this, I start to get excited. My heart starts to pump a little bit because I realize that, guys, a few years ago, that's the reason we started this church. We started this church because we saw that the nations were coming to Fredericksburg. That we already knew, my family and I moved from Fairfax County. It is ethnically the most diverse county in America. Like, we came from a place where there were people from all nations, and that's our heartbeat. Our heartbeat is to reach people from all over the world. And we do that sometimes by going to other places around the world. And sometimes we do that by reaching people who are not like us and not even from our country, who are right here in not only our country, but our county. And so did you know that the Fredericksburg area, Stafford, Spotsy, Fredericksburg, makes up almost 500,000 people? Did you know that? It's about 400,000 people that live in our area. Now, I know I give some of these statistics, and people who've been here for a while, they hate it. They're like, what happened to our small little town? And I'm like, all right, Mayberry, hold up for a second. Like, the world is a-changing, all right? But here's the fact. Fredericksburg is 20% African-American, 15% Hispanic, 5% Asian, 5% Middle Eastern. That means one out of every four people in our community is from another country, not second generation, not third generation, but they are from another country. Like, I want you to think, like, sometimes we're tempted in Christianity to think that, like, people have to think our way, because our way is the most important. But here's the beauty of the gospel. The beauty of the gospel is Jesus said, I got sheep from all over the world. I got sheep you people ain't never even heard of, from every nation, language, tribe, and tongue. Like, Jesus is like, I got sheep. And now it's our responsibility to go make disciples of all nations, to go gather these sheep in the name of Jesus. And I just want you to hear, like, Jesus does not subscribe to a cultural standard. Jesus is Jesus, period. Jesus is not American, is not Middle Eastern, is not European. Like, Jesus is Jesus. And Jesus died and rose again to make all of us more like Jesus, who is the image, the physical image of God, which restores our image of God. And I want you guys to hear, guys, I long for the day, and you're going to see some things that we're going to start doing here in our church just over the next few months to show people when they walk in that we are a church for all nations, that we are a church for all people, because Jesus has sheep that we've never even seen or heard of, and we want to be welcoming to them in the pen. If you're taking notes, write this down. We also see that Jesus lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus lays down his life for his sheep. Man, this is powerful. Jesus says, nobody takes my life. He says, nobody takes my life. He said, I willingly lay it down. In fact, Jesus says, he says again, I have all the authority. So even if you wanted to kill me right now, even if you wanted to take my life, you can't do that until I say it's time for you to do that. Like, that's how much power and authority Jesus has. Doesn't that make sense now why we sing songs to him? Like, he's powerful. He's worthy. He has all the authority. And so I love it, because as we enter a season this week of Holy Week and we enter a season of reflecting upon Jesus dying on the cross, we're reminded that he is the good shepherd. And a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That word "for," lays down his life for the sheep, is really important. Because that word "for" shows sacrifice. It's not, I laid down my life because of the sheep, or I laid down my life to appease the sheep, or I laid down my life, period. He said, I laid down my life for the sheep. In other words, I sacrificed my life so that you can have your life. And guys, that's what we celebrate during Easter, is that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus laid down his life. And listen, he did it willingly. He didn't do it begrudgingly. He did it willingly. How do you willingly give up your life to die on the cross? Love. Because he loves you. But then I notice this. He doesn't just say, I laid down my life. What else does he say? And I picked it back. I'll pick it back up. Showing that he has ultimate power and authority. Here's what a good shepherd does. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, but it's not willy-nilly. It's not like he gathers the sheep together and they're all on a mountainside and he says, hey guys, I just want to show you how much I love you. I'm going to jump off this cliff. Like, that's not what a good shepherd does, because then he jumps off the cliff, he dies, and the sheep are shepherdless. That's not a good shepherd. A good shepherd is one who lays down his life to protect the sheep and then has the power to raise his life back up so that he can be in relationship with the sheep. And guys, that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus laid down his life to save us as his sheep and then picked his life back up so we can now be in relationship with our good shepherd. Guys, this is what the good news is. And I love this. I actually borrowed this from my buddy Nate, because I figured this may be the only chance I actually get to, you know, have an excuse to bring one of these out on a Sunday. I don't know what you guys would do if I was at the door every Sunday morning welcoming you. Like, I guess I'd have to wear like a robe or something. It'd be kind of weird. Anyway, this is digressing. I look at the shepherd's staff, and I don't know, again, a lot of you probably know a lot about sheep and shepherding. I don't know if you do or not, but maybe you do. But this staff was really designed to do a few things, probably 500 things, but a few of the things that it was designed to do. One of the things was to guide the sheep, okay? Now, you know one of the best ways to guide a sheep? Okay, come on, let's go, get a move on. Another way that that this staff is done is not just to guide the sheep, but to protect the sheep. And the best way to kind of do that is that's what they would use this hook for. And so you just go in, grab that sheep and bring them on this way. No, you don't. There's a bunch of wolves over there, and little buddy, you don't want to hang out with them today. They would be very happy to see you. All right, so that's what a staff does. A staff guides the sheep. A staff protects the sheep. But in so doing, in guiding and protecting, a shepherd's staff also saves the sheep. Like, it saves their lives. I can't imagine that a sheep really likes being poked around with this thing, or even knocked over side of the head with it. I can't imagine that a sheep really likes this thing, catching it on its neck and yanking it to the side. I can't imagine the sheep really enjoy the staff, but I can tell you what the sheep do enjoy: living. Bet they enjoy living. And guys, that's what Jesus does for us. Jesus, when we say being saved by Jesus, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about how we were headed in a direction that was full of darkness, that was headed towards destruction. And guys, listen to me. Every single one of us was on a path headed to destruction. In my life, I was saved by Jesus as my good shepherd when I was 9 years old. But I was an 8-year-old headed to destruction. Now, I know we don't like to talk about that, because you're like, man, I bet you were a cute little precious 8-year-old. How dare you say, maybe you have an 8-year-old. You're like, how dare you say my 8-year-old is on a path headed to destruction? I didn't say that, you did. But here's what I will say. What I will say is that that's exactly right, because I grew up without a father figure in my life, without a biological dad. Every statistic tells me that I am more likely to have a divorce, that I am more likely to never get married, that I am more likely to become an alcoholic, that I am more likely to be incarcerated. That, you see, you get the point? And listen, a relationship with God saved my life from those statistics. And so a lot of times we don't like it, but when Jesus says he's the good shepherd, he guides us and he protects us to save us. Guys, every single one of us in this room, we're a sheep. And you either have been saved by the impending destruction that you were headed towards, or you are currently headed in a path that leads to destruction. And I want to encourage you that I know a good shepherd who is ready, willing, and eager to save your life from impending destruction and death. But sometimes we're a little hard-headed, aren't we? A little hard-headed, kind of like this sheep. Show that other video there for me. I don't know if you guys have seen this video, but see, in that analogy, that sheep that's stuck, that's us. That's you. And you're free. How good is that? Free to get stuck again. Anybody can relate a little bit? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, you can turn. Oh, well, let's see it in slow-mo. Why not? There it is. Okay. Guys, I want you to see, I show you that because, guys, that's a lot of times we want to see ourselves as, man, we're the one helping get people out of trouble. We're the one helping, but we're not. We are the one stuck in the pit. And Jesus is the one who gets us out. And man, if it's not just as soon as he gets us out, that we start prancing our way like everything's good and we're not right back in the same hole. But you know what? Jesus is a good shepherd. Jesus loves you. And he loves you so much that what he did was he laid his life down for you. He didn't just go pull you out, but he laid his life down. He climbed in the pit with you and gave up his life so that anyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So I want to encourage you, and worship team, you guys can go ahead and come up, but I want to encourage you guys. I want to give you guys a few things that you can do this week, and I want you to write these down. A few things that we can do this week to make Holy Week a holy week. See, if you're new to this tradition, Holy Week is the week leading up to Easter, and today is the beginning of that. We call it Palm Sunday, and it's a day where we celebrate Jesus coming into in a triumphal entry, coming into Jerusalem, where then for a couple of days he's going to teach his disciples and teach his people. He's going to charge out money changers in the temple. He's going to have a last supper with his disciples and wash their feet. And then he's going to be arrested. And he's going to be arrested, and he's going to be hung on a cross. And he's going to be crucified and killed as a completely innocent man who is perfect. And all he did was come and heal and raise the dead and bring sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. And then he's going to be killed, and he's going to be brought down, and he's going to be laid in a tomb, and his body is going to be lifeless for 3 days. But in 3 days, an angel is going to come and remove the stone from his tomb. And Jesus Christ is going to, in his own authority, pick himself up from the dead back to living, reigning, risen Messiah. And Jesus will spend the next several months showing himself and revealing himself, preaching about the kingdom of God, showing that he is the good shepherd. He is not just a shepherd, he is the good shepherd who's laid his life down for us. So I want to encourage you guys this week, make it different. The word holy means set apart, means different. And I want to encourage you this week to make this week different in your life. Don't make this any other ho-hum week. Oh, we got to get ready for Easter. We got plans. We're traveling. We're doing whatever. Make this week holy. Here's some ways you can do that. Number one, you can read in your Bible about the crucifixion. I know nobody really wants to read about that. We'd rather read about the resurrection, but we got to get through the crucifixion first. Yes, he picks himself back up, but first he lays himself down for us. We need to cry and we need to weep. We need to mourn that he went through that for us, for our sin. Second thing I'd encourage you to do is to pray. Pray more. Set alarms on your phone. Step out of meetings. Say, I'm sorry, I got to step out for just a second and just go pray. Pray for people who are lost. Pray for people in your life that are lost sheep, who don't have a shepherd, who need a shepherd. Thirdly, I'd encourage you to listen to more worship music that's going to stir your affections for Christ. Try to avoid worship music you always listen to. Listen to worship music about the death of Jesus and what it has done for you. Think about fasting. Fast from food, fast from social media. But think about giving something up next week to remind you that this is a special week. Lastly, I would encourage you to spend this week serving, sacrificing. Because when you sacrifice to serve others, you are showing them a picture of the Good Shepherd who laid down his life and picked it back up again so that we could be saved. And I'd encourage you to serve at Do Good Friday. And when you come to serve, serve with the right heart. So today we've talked about what makes Jesus the Good Shepherd. We've talked about how he knows us, how he has sheep from every nation and tribe, and how he's laid down his life for us. So it just begs the question today, are you one of his sheep? Do you know his voice? Are you in his protection and safety? Are you in a real relationship with him? Are you one of his sheep? And if you are, can I encourage you to right now use this time to come get close to your shepherd? Maybe you're off in a field somewhere and you've wandered off and you look up and you're like, I'm not even sure where my shepherd is right now because I've wandered so far away. Or maybe you're one of the hard-headed sheep and you're like, man, I'm actually stuck in a crevice right now, and if I could get some help, that'd be great. Jesus stands ready to do that. But if you are one of his sheep today, can I encourage you, draw near to him today. Come back to him. And if you're not one of his sheep today, if you would say, Brandon, I have no relationship. I have not been saved from that path of destruction that I'm headed on. Then let me encourage you today. Jesus is a good shepherd, a noble shepherd, a worthy shepherd, one who had the authority to give up his life to serve you, and then raise his life back up again 3 days later to show you that you can trust him. So put your trust in him today. Can we pray together?
Hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel center church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.